Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater. It's great to have you guys here. I've got Dan Kinnison with me again. Dan, thanks for being here again.
Yeah, always good to be here with you, Austin.
So it is 71 degrees today. It was 71 degrees yesterday. Neither of these things are normal for mid-March.
No, nor will they last much longer, I don't think, beyond today, but...
Yeah, and so we were doing a whole bunch of stuff outside the other day. We were, you know, trying to get some yard work done ahead of time. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of work to do. So I was just wondering, is there anything that you like to do in, you know, spring that when finally it's warm enough, you're like, yes, I can finally do this? Some folks, it's walking. I know for me, I am so much more excited to go on a walk when it's warm.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious if you got anything.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, this is not activity-wise, but, boy, I just love being able to ditch the coats come springtime, right?
Absolutely.
Like just not having to carry the coat around and deal with it. Always look forward to that come whenever it does. Sometimes it's later than others, but...
The only downside is that you lose all the extra pockets. That's the one thing I always appreciate about
coats. Good for storage.
Good for storage.
But I'll look forward to, you know, like you said, just getting outside, whether that's walking around or I'm going to coach baseball with my son this year and... That's always fun, just getting out there and
nice.
Yeah, goofing around. The lawn work will come. I don't know if I look forward to it, but but I don't mind it either. It's good to get out there.
Oh, the lawn work's going to be interesting for us because we just bought a new house, for those of you who didn't know this. And the last owners left it a mud pit. Mm-hmm. There's no grass in our yard right now. And so we've got a lot of work to do, but I'm really excited for the warmth for that.
It's a blank slate.
It's a blank slate. We can do whatever we want with it. That's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah.
So, Dan, what did we talk about last week?
Yeah, so we're a couple weeks from Easter only. Now, as you're listening to this, only 2.5 weeks out, which is kind of wild. But so these couple of weeks leading up, we're thinking about kind of some of the perspectives and situations of those who are around the cross and these kind of last couple of days of Jesus' ministry and thinking about their following of Jesus in those moments and how it mirrors in a lot of ways our own following and some of the challenges and encouragements, all that. So we were in, it's really just one verse, we did two from Mark 15, with Simon, who gets tasked, compelled to carry the cross of Jesus and does that. And it's noted in 3 of the 4 Gospels about that piece. But just thinking of that situation and just how it relates to how Jesus had taught earlier about discipleship and carrying your cross. And so we thought about, what does that look like? And connecting with a lot of what Simon likely would have gone through in that moment. And it's challenging, I think, to think about that and what it means to follow Jesus in that way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the message can hit hard, and we just tried to end too with it coming back to, but it all points back to Jesus.
Like, right.
None of this is something that's on our backs as far as we have to do this so that we're saved. He's come and done these things for us. Now the call is to follow him, and
right.
Still challenging.
Yeah, and deny our path, and mm-hmm. just quite literally, you know, deny right. yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. In this case,
it's a very visual. That's why it brings it home. Even if Simon was forced by the Romans to do this, very visually, he's carrying the cross mm-hmm. and following Jesus or walking with him on the path to Calvary. So
yeah,
very visual.
So I know it was a very, again, it was just two verses, but was there anything there that you decided not to go into for the sake of whatever reason this week?
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting details, even with Simon that we talked about it briefly. You know, his sons are named in Mark's account, and just that pretty much everyone believes that's because the people Mark's writing to knew who those guys were. And we believe that Mark was writing primarily to Roman Christians, maybe Christians in Rome. It's interesting in the book of Romans, chapter 16 at the end, when Paul's writing, greet all these people. One of the people he mentions is Rufus.
Oh, really?
And fairly common name, we don't know, but it seems like an interesting coincidence that here's these two guys in similar places we think both these letters are going to are mentioned. So just that story of faith in the family. Also, this would have been kind of a diversion from probably what I was trying to focus on, but it's interesting in the history of the church and faiths in general, some of the ways Simon's been looked at. So from early on in the church, there was this docetic branch of the Christian faith, who kind of separated out more of Jesus' work there, you know, when he was God and when he was not. who say it was Simon that was crucified on the cross.
Interesting.
And so it wasn't God who was there. And even to this day, many Muslims, that's what they believe in regards to Christ, that you know, they kind of exchange places there in this moment.
Interesting.
And Simon was the one put on the cross. So just yeah, just an interesting note, but something that still has some impact
today.
Well,
and you know, worth knowing just for the historical element of it.
Sure. And you can, you could see where that would happen. You know, all of a sudden somebody else is carrying the cross. Well, that was the moment God used to kind of, so, you know, because God can't be crucified. That's some of the line of thinking. And so, yeah, that's where that goes. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there was one other piece. That might cover it well enough. There's lots of interesting things as you get into it that you can't always bring out.
Right.
But and lots of things you wonder. Oh, I know. The one other piece is our sanctuary has the stained glass windows.
Yeah.
And the one is kind of the path of the cross and Jesus on the road to Calvary there. And so for the people who have been here a long time at Friendship, they know that specifically tied in with this story. And I believe Kathy Vanderstel has even given children's messages where she's kind of dressed up as Simon and referred to that window.
Oh, really?
There.
That's super cool.
Yeah, there were several people who mentioned it afterwards, like, oh, yeah, we thought of the window.
If I recall correctly, didn't she have a hand in designing it
as yes.
well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And there's two windows. They got the same brown colors in both, you know, the path to paradise, eternity, as it were, and the same as the path of the cross, which fits in with this message, too. So
that's really cool.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, and so it was interesting because a lot of the discussion was based around, you know, what is our plan and what is God's plan? As I was hearing this,
yeah.
I was thinking a lot of, okay, so I've got all my plans. I've got my ways I want to go about doing things. I've got my ways I want to accomplish God's work. And then there's Jesus's plan, and that obviously looks very different. And denying ourselves, you know, like you said, denying yourself means putting Jesus' plan above our own. But sometimes it's really hard to suss out what that plan might be. And I know we've talked a lot about discernment, so we're not necessarily going to do that now. If you guys, we've pretty much every single episode, honestly, we're going to talk a little bit about some discernment.
Sure,
it's super important. But I wonder about some of these big challenges that we might encounter. I don't really think any one of us is going to encounter something to this level that I'm about to ask about, but you never know. So when we look at the Reformation, we're a CRC church here, so we really look up to a lot of those reformers. We look up to Luther, we look up to Calvin, and in their denying themselves and picking up the cross and following Jesus, that meant completely shedding the institution of faith that they had grown up in, that really the entire continent of Europe at that point was in. You know, the Catholic Church really was in charge of everything at that point. And so for them, in their prayer and in their study, they were like, listen, I really feel like God's plan is not what this institution of church has laid out. And that kicked off all of, you know, There's the Wars of Reformation, their nation split. And we look back with hindsight and we're like, they really were doing a good job because they were making sure that we were staying faithful to the Word of God, to the message God gave us. But really, in the moment, they questioned the institution around them so much that people died. And we're not necessarily in a place like that right now. Oftentimes when we have a reformation, I used air quotes there, a lot of our reformations now are just like, okay, well, we're no longer the Reformed Church, we're the Christian Reformed Church,
it'll just splinter
a little because we're more used to that.
Right.
But I'm just wondering if we feel like, okay, yeah, God is really calling me to speak some prophetic words of reformation, how do we deal with that? Because sometimes, especially challenging the institution of a church around us, challenging a denomination, that's scary, that's threatening, that is not something that we really tend to look fondly upon. And there are very valid reasons to not look fondly upon that. But as the question of reformation and denying oneself comes up, oftentimes God's going to call you to do something that is not popular in the church.
Sure.
And in the religious institutions. You see that with the Pharisees and the way Jesus interacted with the Pharisees. He really was like, listen, you've got your ways, you've been doing it, but you're missing the point.
Right, right.
And so I was just wondering, how should we respond to those modern-day calls for reformation and reform? And then how can we tell if the institutions we're in have lost the plot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see if we can unpack that.
There's a lot. There's so much there. And so.
Well, I think one of the good points right from the get-go, as I hear you was listening to you there, Austin, is that sometimes when we're talking about denying ourselves and the prioritize Jesus plan, sometimes that will make us uncomfortable in the sense that it'll call us out of our sinful patterns.
Right.
To see, like, I'm being real selfish. I'm just doing whatever I want to do. Or, I'm in a relationship that's not healthy, and Jesus is saying, nope, you need to get out of that. But there's other times when Jesus and his plan and prioritizing that is going to call me to maybe a next level of following him, as it were, a challenge. You know, I need to speak out in a way or, challenge something that's going on. And it's hard because it's my plans to stay comfortable. And I don't want to get uncomfortable in all the ways you mentioned.
I don't want to sow discord in my community. I don't want to hurt the people who I've been worshiping with my whole life.
Yeah. And so there's kind of two different challenges there in the priority. Sometimes is the Lord's calling you to be prophetic, like a Jeremiah, you know, you're going to do this, you know, kind of out of bounds piece here. You're going to be a Martin Luther who's going to challenge in this way, or even Apostle Paul in so many ways with the Gentiles and drawing them in. I think, and you mentioned this too, even talking about some of the reformers, it's important to note that that didn't happen typically in just a snap, right, in an instant.
Right.
It took some time of prayer, listening to the Lord and the Word, and that's something we noted with the deny yourself, that we need to stop and listen and pay attention to what God's saying, because I don't think we should walk so willy-nilly just into being, because there's our personal self.
Right.
I'm the prophet. let me tell you, I figured this out, and it's like we need to. Yeah.
And I guess that does bring it back. I said we weren't going to talk about this, but that really comes back to just the discernment piece. Discernment is such a critical part of this, because this can't be something that we're just like, yes, I'm going to just reform the church like that.
Right.
It'll happen instantly. It'll be because this makes sense.
Sure.
It's, sometimes there's a bit more to it than that.
Well, yeah. I mean, you ask, 300 people here at Friendship, hey, what'd you do to fix the church? And they probably would offer ideas pretty quickly here. We just need to do this or get back to that. And, a lot of that discernment happens in community, but we need to be listening. And I think that's especially Luther, when you kind of read some of his story and his trip to Rome there, and just his reading through books like Romans and Galatians, and it was just listening to the Lord, and it just hit him in the face that the way the institution's going about this now is it's not right, it's not scriptural, and he even tried to work within, and when that was rebuffed over and over, well then. It got to kind of where we're thinking of the 95 Theses and all that. And there's certainly points we always need prophetic voices, and it's not easy to do that. And I wouldn't say, even Scripture talks about not everybody should rush to these kind of things, leadership roles, and to being that voice. But as we're listening to the Lord, where he makes it clear that, we've become so institutionalized maybe in this way, or we're so influenced by our culture in this way that we're missing the main point, like you said. We're missing the essence of the gospel, or we're missing some aspect of our mission here. Well, we need that prophetic voice to correct and to guide. And like you said, we've been very schismatic over the years, and a lot of times, unfortunately, for reasons that probably didn't merit it. But then, there are times, you look at the Reformation in hindsight, it said, there's corrections that needed to be made. And, even the Catholic Church, in a sense, has recognized from that time period.
Well, and they reform as well.
Sure. So I think, you're sitting in the moment, it's hard to see.
Right.
And,
so then when we're in this moment and we're presented with something that this just sounds really wild, how should we receive that well and give it the due diligence? So I was actually listening to the radio the other day, and they were talking about this fellow out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who he felt like he had this communication from God about what salvation looked like. I wish I could remember what it was called off the top of my head, but basically he felt like, we haven't been preaching and living the way God really called us to. And he stepped out, and he ended up actually getting kicked out of his denomination for some of the stuff he was teaching. And some of that stuff was, there were very valid reasons to do that at that point. But it just made me think, okay, if someone came up to me and said, hey, we're doing things wrong, my gut reaction is not going to be, oh, maybe there's some validity to that. It's like, no,
Get defensive.
It's like you get defensive. Yeah. So if someone were to come up and say, Dan, this thing that, you know, you've been preaching about, that's wrong. What if it's totally different? How would you receive that well, and how would you go about trying to weigh that?
Yeah. I appreciate your honesty, because I think for a lot of us, myself included, the instant reaction is to get defensive because, yeah, for the most part, we believe we're doing it the right way, because why would we do it another way if that was the case? So, but yeah, if we're going to respond well, I think of the people of Berea in Scripture. So in Acts 17, Paul's on his missionary journey, comes there, and he's sharing with them, you know, this is why Jesus is the promised Messiah. But it talks about how they tested it with the Scriptures. They were in the Scriptures and going to it. That, to me, is a good way to respond. You know, if you share something, boy, this is what I see coming. You know, the Spirit's laid it on my heart. We need to be doing this or going about it this way. Well, let's go to Scripture together and see. Is this something that's out of whack with what we're seeing there for God, how God's calling us to be or to act? Or is it in line? And if it's in line, yeah, we need to think about that. And again, it's never just one of us doing that. We should be in community. But you're right. There's, you know, prophetic voices all around. And this has been the truth from the beginning of the church, that there's plenty of voices and not all of them are speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. And some of them, though, can sound very convincing. And some are, you know, so narrowly related to maybe just things in the U.S. or something that sometimes makes me wonder, as I think about the worldwide church. But again, you don't know. I think you got to go into it.
Well, I think that's a really important point, is that so often when we think about the faith, we think about the faith in an American Protestant context.
Sure.
Especially those of us who are American Protestants. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, neglecting the differences in the, you know, the Coptic church or the Ugandan Protestant tradition or something. You know, we're not all a hive mind, you know, we don't all agree. And so to assume that all of these prophetic things fit, you know, what works for America and faith works for African faith, it's not necessarily the same thing.
Yeah, different expressions. So even, it's just good we're talking about being prophetic in that. I mean, there's a whole strand, and it's kind of in the Reformed camp, that things like that was a gift that ceased. You know, after the apostles, you know, the prophetic gift. And so there can be a load of skepticism in general about all of that. Although we would say, I believe that in the Spirit, like Luther and Calvin were being prophetic, they're calling out some of the misdirection that was going on. And so maybe built into a lot of us, maybe those listening, you know, from our community at Friendship, we might have a built-in skepticism about that kind of language. Whereas, yeah, you go overseas, my experience in South America, for one, was there was much more of a, even in the Reformed Church or the Presbyterian Church, much more of that kind of language and maybe more spiritual mindedness, if I can say that.
I think that's an apt way of putting it.
To see things and even the way that the language used during prayer and worship. And so I think for us, we're still kind of learning in a way often in our Reformed circles. Yeah, how do we interact the work of the Spirit with kind of our learned knowledge of who the Lord is? And there's good place for both, but how do you integrate well? And so it's, you know, trying to respond well. There could be, we just might have a built-in skepticism. Someone says, well, yeah, well, you know, God's telling me there's this new thing coming. And we say, well, that's not possible. Revelation's the last book of the Bible. you know, so there's even that, not even personal defense, but kind of an overall theological skepticism that sometimes we're dealing with.
And again, that's sometimes very valid.
Sure, we should test.
We should absolutely test these things, but testing with grace is the thing that I think.
Right.
Important.
Especially if you know someone. I understand if you just, you know, I got this, you know, heard this guy on TV or got this message forwarded to me. I'm like, I don't know where this is coming from. It's another thing when you're talking to someone in our local congregation or, you know, in the leaders of our denomination or people we know. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not just coming with negative reasons.
Right.
You know, they're thinking about these things. They've been praying. And so how do we respond well and talk about it? You know, let me pray about that too. And, you know, have you thought about this in Scripture? It's good to have that ongoing conversation. I think that's where we're at our best. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes if I'm thinking kind of, you know, the more, you could say, mind-driven Reform camp and the heart-driven Pentecostal camp, I think the errors we talked about, the Reform side can be almost overly skeptical and it's got to make sense or it doesn't fit. Sometimes the error on the other side is to begin arrogant, like, well, I heard this from the Spirit. And so even, you, there's no questioning it.
Right.
You know, like, I, yeah, whatever. You pointed out scripture that, no, that's, I heard this. Mm-hmm. And so trying to combine those two to say, hey, how are we listening to the Lord yes. in our context?
And
in
test
our day?
Things well, but mm-hmm. also be open to the moving of the Spirit.
Exactly, exactly. So trying to find that balance is good.
It's tricky. And it really pushes us out of our comfort zones, which really gets me to the next part of this discussion I'd love to have. Because, oh man, and I think I've said this on the podcast before, but comfort zones are, they're my, like, if I'm ever going to speak about something, it's on the importance of being outside of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I love talking about this stuff. And it's, you know, following Jesus is going to stretch us out of our comfort zone is easy to say, and we all know someone who needs to hear that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Right? But often for us, we're really the ones who need to be stretched out of our comfort zones. And oftentimes, unless we really make an intentional effort, we're just not going to find ourselves accidentally outside of our comfort zone. That just doesn't happen. We're creatures of routine. We get in routines, and we'll, you know, I go to work the same way. I go at the same time. I'll interact with the same people. I'll stop at the, you know, and we're rarely pushed out of our comfort zone. So for those of us who struggle sometimes to get out of that comfort zone, what can we do to push ourselves to learn more about God? Well,
You're right. But one question to ask is, and just reflect on, if you're listening to, you can ask yourself this, is when's the last time I felt really spiritually stretched? I was thinking about that, and just an honest way to say, yeah, I could use some stretching, right? Or to put myself in those spots, because it's very easy to get in our routine and even devotionally with the Lord and not... not that it's not good, but we're not allowing a growth edge there. And I think about our context, and it can go two ways. One, I do think that a lot of people are challenged or uncomfortable in a lot of areas of their life. If you're just an employee working, you know, a lot of times you're not getting able to dictate things. Your boss is telling you what to do, and you have to do it, and it might be hard. And sometimes there's that even in home life. And so sometimes we come to the church setting, and we just want it all comfortable. We want it all the same it always is because it's not that way elsewhere. You know, the news, the politics are always changing.
This is the one thing we can control.
Right. And so we don't then get stretched. We're not really growing spiritually because we're leaning into that. I also think in our particular context, we have a lot of folks and families here that have an incredible amount of autonomy. What I mean is they own their own businesses. They're very independent. They obviously have their own homes and properties. And so they are used to setting the tone for kind of fencing in their areas, right, including in church. And so every spot of life is set up the way we want it.
Right.
And then we're not used to being stretched at all. We're not looking for that, as you said. And we need that. That was the point. We need to be appropriately challenged plus.
Yes, I love that analogy.
Right? And we need to get stretched a little bit. And I was thinking, I didn't use this example, but a lot of people will relate because they've been through it, and that's physical rehab. That is an environment where you're going to be appropriately challenged plus. You need to heal. It's for that purpose. But I always think, like, I like to push myself when I exercise. I'm never going to quite stretch myself to the degree that those therapists were when I was going through my knee rehab.
Right.
But it was all for, they weren't going to do it over the top. They weren't going to re-injure me. They knew where they could push. And that's the whole part of this, to trust God as he leads us in this. But I think we need to be intentional about looking for ways that, and maybe it's that leading of the Spirit. We say, oh, I don't want to do that. That's probably an indicator that maybe we should or need to. It might just be something small, like, oh, am I feeling like I need to talk to that person? But boy, I just like talking to these people Sunday morning, these kind of folks I always gather with. Or yeah, why am I feeling the impulse to have someone over maybe to be hospitable? Or maybe it's a new ministry. I feel like I need to go to, you know, downtown to Grand Rapids and get involved with Degage or do something with Byron Community here or whatever. That's going to push you out of your normal Wednesday routine, for instance.
Well, and one thing I personally have grown a lot from and I'd recommend to a lot of folks is every now and then visit a church that's a very different tradition.
Even that,
Even that. So I, for... about 6 months, I would go every Wednesday to an Episcopal service. And wow, was that a different experience.
Oh,
I mean, From, you know, my Baptist roots to working here now at a CRC church, the Episcopal tradition is a very different tradition. Mm-hmm. You know, you stand up and you go to the front every time for the communion, and you kneel and they hand it to you there, and it's very different. But man, I have grown to really appreciate so much more about the faith because of that. Mm-hmm. And so much, like, I'm not Episcopal, but man, I love the way you guys respect the elements, or you mm-hmm. respect God, and that you love other people, and the way that works out has really mm-hmm. challenged me a lot. So that's one practical thing. If people are looking for ideas, like, hey, we would love to have you guys here on Sunday.
But yeah, but people are out of town.
But genuinely, and, like, take a day off, go somewhere else.
Yeah,
worship with the body writ large in a very different context, and see how that stretches you.
Yeah, and it's just good, like you said, for our souls too. We used to vacation down in Kentucky a lot when I was growing up, and there wasn't CRCs down there. And so we go, there's like a Presbyterian church, there's a Baptist, and it's just good to connect with different brothers and sisters in Christ. And like you said, different expressions, but it helps you see, oh yeah, we're worshiping the same Lord. And there's things you just appreciate that of different traditions, like, wow, this is really enriching.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great suggestion. That's one way to stretch out. Yeah. And I think even just, like we said, just being here on Sundays for a lot of folks listening, they're members of Friendship, mm-hmm. and just that routine of talking to the same people, maybe sitting in the same spot even, just trying to get out of your comfort zone a little bit brings about growth.
And for those of us who are, again, you know, in this camp, we've talked about how we tend to be very intellectually driven. One thing that I'd love to hear your thoughts on, Dan, I just thought of this at the moment, but go and read the, I'm gonna butcher the word, so I'm gonna just use apocryphal for this case.
Okay.
But read different denominations' apocryphal literature.
Mm.
So like with the Episcopal Church, they have the Book of Common Prayer, which is not scripture explicitly. They're like, this is not scripture. This is just a tool of prayers mm-hmm. and teachings and sermons that you can use and learn from. It does not have the authority of scripture, but this is
sure.
a great tool.
Yeah.
In the CRC, we have the same thing here. With the Canons of Dort and right. with, you
Belgian
know,
Confession, Belgian Confession, Heidelberg Catechism,
Heidelberg, yeah. all of those things. Do you think that might be a good way for someone who is more intellectually minded to try and push themselves if they're not able to go there? Just
sure.
pick up some of that
supporting
literature?
If that's your avenue, yeah. I mean, I think there's so much, you know, whether it's the Westminster Confession, you know, which is pretty close to our own, or, yeah, I mean, even, you know, if that's your interest, you know, you can read some of these documents that come from the Vatican and be interested in. Read some of their statements on mission and some of that. It's quite interesting, and there's a lot there and a lot of thought that goes into it. There might be some things you disagree with, but there's a lot of things there that are quite powerful as well. Or yeah.
Well, and I think trying to, you know, being like, yeah, you know, I might disagree with some of this, but I'm going to find the truth in this, mm-hmm. and I'm going to embrace the truth that they've found. I think that there's something really powerful about that, because mm-hmm. it's saying like, yeah, you know, we're all flawed humans, but I'm going to learn from flawed humans. I don't really have any other choice.
Right. Yeah. And it's challenging, maybe even more out of the box if you're, you know, and like me in a lot of ways, a very logical kind of thinker, and, you know, find a way to connect with more charismatic folks.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I attended we've had this kind of, you know, Dunamis, you know, kind of the power of the Holy Spirit. There's these groups around, and just doing a prayer thing with them. This is a few years back, and it was a pretty basic thing, but it was just like they got us into some groups and just spending time in prayer. This person I was paired with had never met before, and they say, all right, well, you're just going to pray for this person, really be listening for the Spirit. Maybe there's a passage or a song or something that comes to mind, and just pray as led. And it was really interesting. It was stretching for me, completely stretching. I'm praying for this person, and I don't know. You know, and I remember praying in regards to, you know, the verse coming to mind, Paul's talking in 2 Corinthians about a thorn. I said, you know, I feel, you know, that verse is coming up here in my mind, so I want to pray for my brother here, and maybe there's a thorn he's dealing with. And so we prayed, and we come out of that. He's like, oh, that's really interesting, because I am dealing with this right now. And
right.
So it was good stretching for me.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, boy, it opened my eyes a little more, and we're so used to planning very well in our tradition, everything. And so there might be... yeah, maybe you know someone you can connect with, or maybe there's an experience like that just to stretch yourself mm-hmm. a bit too.
Yeah.
You know, we're always flexing the muscles that are our strengths, but sometimes we need to be stretched.
Don't skip
another
leg
way.
Day.
Yeah, right, exactly, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So what can we look forward to next week, Dan?
So, yeah, this coming Sunday, we're continuing this series, and we're going to be really at the cross And there's this group of faithful women disciples that are highlighted. And we're going to be in Mark's gospel. And they're never mentioned in Mark's gospel until all of a sudden here in the end of chapter 15. Oh, yeah, by the way, there's Mary Magdalene. And there's these others that are, there at the cross and following. And so the perspective is they're there faithfully. The other disciples have kind of fled, but they're there. But they're also just taking in the scene. Jesus is being crucified. And there's lament there. So this will be a different kind of message probably of, for a lot of folks, hey, they're coming on Sundays, they're going to worship, there's a faithfulness in following the Lord, but we don't always know what he's doing, and it's sometimes hard to see, just like the women there, how could this happen? And people go through tough things in life, or they might look at the big picture maybe nationally or whatever, worldwide, say, God, we're here, but we're lamenting what's going on, or we're struggling to understand it, and how do we go about that well? And what does this look like to continue to be faithful even when we don't understand? So, yeah, this past week was quite challenging as far as our following. I think this one comes into how do we follow in the challenges.
Okay.
More so. That phrase just came now. Maybe I'll use that.
There you go. Incredible. Awesome. Well, Dan, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me about this today. Very much looking forward to Sunday. Thank you all listeners as well. Again, just always so grateful for your participation and for you being here. God bless, and we'll see you next week.